I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle has won.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Today we're going to go through part two of our Jenga players, go through the rest of the NRL, which includes the Roosters, the Titans, the Canberra Raiders, the Penrith Panthers, the Manly Seagulls, the Brisbane Broncos, the Dolphins, the Canterbury Bulldogs, and of course, the Parramatta Eels. Today's episode is brought to you by our proud partners in 2024, Neds. Go and check out the Neds app. You can follow the Rugby League Guru profile there and follow along with our bets. We got a little chicken dinner last week. Tommy Turbo, Ruben Garrick into the overs. You're looking at about $9 there. We're getting a little bit juicier this week for Mad Monday. We've got Lockie Galvin and young Blaze Talangi to cross at about 20 to 1 there. Prices subject to change. Go and check out the Neds app and follow along with my profile to see it all there. Bring in my 5'8", my partner in crime, her new favorite term, my sparring partner, Kathmandu. Welcome in.
Thank you. That was so bad.
I loved it.
I knew that. I knew I'd catch you off guard. Can I just let
the
everyone
king of
know?
Sting over there?
Yeah,
unreal. Master of disaster.
This is true. This is true. Organized chaos embodied.
Love
I had a very dramatic fall yesterday, which I'm still reliving today. And then I've stacked it so many times today, being a bit of a space cadet. But you know what? I think it's fair to say that I am still the Jenga player in this building.
I think you are. Yeah, I think you definitely are the Jenga player. I just watched Kat have a pretty fierce battle with a push sign on a door where she almost pulled its life to pieces just quietly.
Now, I wish that wasn't true.
Now, before we get into our Jenga player, which of course is the player you take out from an NRL club and they sort of fall into a heap, you did mention that you fell into a bit of a heap yesterday. And
Let me tell the story.
We spoke about yesterday on our walk that like I would rather fall in front of 100 human beings than in front of 10 tradies. It's probably the most it feels like they've got more eyes than the average person, tradies.
Yeah.
You took a real tumble yesterday.
I did. So I parked about 500 meters from the studio and I had a coffee cup in my car.
Yep.
And I thought I've got time to kind of finish the coffee and dispose of it before I get to the studio. So I walk past a cafe. There's a bin there. I'm like, perfect. I'll dispose of my cup. I saw the bin. What I didn't see were the two steps that I needed to take in order to get to the bin. And I fell up the stairs, very dramatic, very loud, fell onto my knees. And, you know, I'm kind of there on my knees. The bin's in front of me. And I'm like, well, I'm here. Like, I'll just chuck the chuck
bit
the
like the Michael Jordan scene from Space Jam.
Yeah, I looked exactly like that as well. It was as cool as that. And I'm like, while I'm here, I may as well just dispose of it. But I avoided eye contact with everyone. But you know that it was dramatic when somebody leaves the cafe, comes out of the automatic doors, just asks me if I'm okay. And then the guy that was kind of walking in front of me when it all happened, he also did the whole like, oh, I need to save this girl. And It was very dramatic. But as you mentioned, there were not 10 tradies. There are about 25 tradies on this long table that obviously all come from a job site. And it went, you could hear a pin drop when I fell. So you could hear my knees hit the ground as hard as they did. And then when I got about 25, 30 meters away and they thought it was safe to laugh, the laugh was so loud.
It so echoed loud. Through eternity.
It hurt more than my throbbing knees.
Day one here in the studio on Kat's first day, I remember I tripped over a cord and Kat said to me, oh, we should keep track of who trips the most. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't trip that much, so that's okay. Little did I know, little Bambi on ice over there has about 14 trips a day. She's a frequent flyer.
I am a frequent flyer, racking up some points here and can't wait to buy some stuff. I don't know what happened to me, but this is the norm for me. It's not that I need glasses. It's not that there's anything going on. You know, it's just me. It's just who I am. It's a personality trait and it'll come up many a time.
I wouldn't change it for the world. It's actually one of the highlights of my day. It's
unreal. Love that. That's great.
Now, Jenga players. We're up to part two. We had a really good discussion last week. And I think that last week we actually agreed on a lot of them. Yeah. I think a lot of them were very similar. I reckon the teams we've got left, I reckon there is going to be a number of disagreements
potentially
in this one. So I'm keen to have a look. Now, me and Kat, we haven't actually shown each other who we've got for each team. We know the order we're going in and we've both done our own. So let's kick off with the Sydney Roosters. Kat, I had two names written down here. The obvious one that comes to mind for me is James Tedesco.
Yeah.
He's the obvious one.
Yeah.
But I, you know what, I looked back to last season and I thought, you know what, when it all sort of turned around and they started to really fire shots in the finals, it all sort of came off the back of Sammy Walker. And I think James Tedesco is more important to this side, but I think without Sam Walker, they just lack that bit of creativity and strike in this Rooster side. It means that you shift to Joey Manu or someone into 5'8". They've obviously got Sandon Smith now, which is great to have, but I would have James Tedesco. I would have Sam Walker pretty high up there. Before I get to other guys that I would throw in there, who did you have? Was there an obvious to you?
Yeah, no. The obvious for me is Tedesco.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with you, but I also think they underperformed last year. They left a lot to be desired and Tedesco also left a lot to be desired. And I think that his performance kind of coincided with a lack of results on the team's part. And so I think he's looking really good. He started the season really, really, really strong in comparison to last. And the Roosters are looking a lot better. And I don't think that is a coincidence. So for me, Teddy is kind of that key player. If he's not performing, Roosters aren't performing. And he is also the target for so many teams. So when he's at his best, he is a real, real threat to every other team.
I think it's really interesting. A couple of years ago, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'll just try and get you a quick little sample of it. Jared Rea Hargraves was actually percentage-wise, the amount of games that the Roosters won with JWH compared to the amount of games they won when he wasn't on the field was pretty wild. So JWH has to be right up there. I can't remember what the report was, but it was something like there's like a 20% improvement or something with him in the side over a long period of time as well, like 10 years of the Roosters being a premiership-winning side. Wooden Spooners, back-to-back premiership win sides, underachiever. Like, just over a long period of time, JWH has been incredibly important. The other player that I would throw in there, Kat, would be Victor Radley.
Yeah.
I think sometimes he gets underappreciated that, you know, when you have a look at the last few weeks, they've looked good. It's because Victor Radley's played 80 minutes every single week when they were winning comps. Victor Radley was playing big minutes at 13. The last few years when they've struggled, he's either been injured, suspended, one of the two, pretty much the entire time, just hear bits and pieces. So I think he's really important as well. But I think James Tedesco has got to be the one, right?
I think it's the nature of his position too. You know, it's a crucial position, but also that Roosters team on paper, they're so good. And when they turn up, you know, they are the best they can be the best in the comp. They can beat any team. And I just think Teddy is such a key part of that performance.
Yeah, completely fair. All right, Gold Coast Titans. I hate to say it, Kat, but they might have lost their Jenga player on the weekend.
Yeah, okay, we're obviously going to agree on this one as well. Tino.
I think it has to be Tino. Yeah. I think he's one of the best forwards in this competition. They've obviously signed him on a 10-year deal, so you know that's how highly they – fuck, God, it's awful to sign a guy on a 10-year deal who's a big mobile forward and then within – less than 12 months does his ACL. That's
it's real sad.
Yeah, look, Tino's pretty young and I'm pretty confident he returns back to himself, but geez, it's a risk you don't want to take with a marquee player, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the face of that team, if you ask me. I think he's the most recognisable. He fronts so much of their media. He is obviously one of the key players on the field as well. And I saw him in a foyer of a hotel once and I couldn't believe how big of a person he was. He was standing next to Dez.
He's enormous, yeah.
So I feel like it's just a no-brainer, that one. And I think we'll see the effects of that as the weeks progress as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're definitely going to see it. I think there's, you know, guys like Mo Fotowaker. I've said it a few times. I think Jermaine Joliffe really steps up there. But just the leadership, I don't think you can really replace. Mm-hmm. Other guys in that team, I think obviously Jaden Campbell's very important, but I think Kieran Foran's the next most important player.
He's got that experience under his belt too. Brings that kind of leadership that I think someone like Jaden Campbell's a bit too young still.
And you know what? Probably in round one when Foz didn't play, I put a lot of their performance down to just lacking his experience. Mm. He was there in round two, Foz. They really struggled, if not got worse. It will be interesting, Kat. Fafita's the other big elephant in the room, obviously. He potentially returns this week, if not next. You like that one?
I like that because he's such a unit. I'm not calling him a big elephant. I'm absolutely not saying that.
Nor was I, to be fair.
No. But I couldn't agree with you more. And, in fact, David Fafita was born in 2000. I struggle to believe that because I think he's looked 30 for 5 years. Like,
so Dave Fafita was born in the year 2000?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I looked it up today.
It feels like he's been around for a while.
I know. I'm actually going to Google it again right now. I need to see it again.
I think that adds up because he'd be 23. That makes sense. But
yeah. Well, he's 24. He was 24 in February. But that's just crazy. He's an absolute unit. And when he's on fire, he is without a doubt the best player in that team, I think.
Yeah, completely agree. Titans, I think it has to be Tino, but those other guys, very close shouts there. The Canberra Raiders. Now, I look at the Raiders' side. They've got an incredible forward pack. They've got a lot of young guys in this squad, especially in key positions. I personally think Jamal Fogarty's probably – he might not be the best player on this team, but I think he is the Jenga piece that without him they would really struggle. Without his composed kicking game, they would really, really struggle. And I know I'm bending the rules a little bit here, Kat, but when I look at the Canberra Raiders and as far as like maybe not a Jenga player but a Jenga person, I just think the attitude that Ricky Stewart brings to this side – he just brings a fuck you. We're going to hang in and hang in and hang in. We're going to drag you into the gutter and we're just going to be tougher than you. One of the real hallmarks of Ricky Stewart's career and just his attitude as a footballer, one of the lippiest players to ever play rugby league.
Yeah.
I remember Matty Johns telling a story about when he made his debut or in his first few games. I played the Canberra Raiders. I think it was Andrew Johns actually. And he said that he came off the field, rang his mum and said, take the Ricky Stewart poster down in my room. He just bullied me for an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wild. So Ricky Stewart, I'd have him right up there. But I think as far as on-field players, there are better players in the side. But I think Jamal Fogarty is probably the key guy. Who do you have?
I have Joseph Tarpany as well. I think for me, Joseph Tarpany is a standout player. Most seasons, he's one of the players that everybody's talking about. Even when we talk Supercoach and stuff like that, he's an expensive player, but he's very solid. So I just think his role within that team is pretty crucial. And I'd imagine if something happened to him, they'd feel the loss for sure.
Yeah, 100%. They would. Yeah, very good shout. I think the other player that I would just want to give a little shout out to, he's been the heart and soul of the Raiders for a very long time, and he just fills a role every single week wherever they need him. Jordan Rapana, very, very important to that side.
Yeah, I think similar energy to Tarpany in that sense. So, you know, similar age, they bring that experience.
I'll tell you what's really interesting, Kat. I think if we would have sat down and done this 12 months ago, I think we both would have said Jack White.
Yeah, 100%. But I think that's what's also interesting is who becomes the Jenga player now that
The other question is, was he the Jenga player that we thought he was? I mean, they've started the season incredibly well. Young
good.
Ethan Strange has come in and done a good job. It's very early days, obviously, and I still believe they do miss Jack for sure. But it is interesting when you look at these Jenga players and who it is, and then you actually see the team without them, and you go, well, they're good players, but are they the utmost important players that we sort of assume they are? It's really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Let's move to the Penny Panthers. I mean, I think it has to be Naif. But in saying that, we have seen the Panthers without Naif, and you know they might not be as dominant. But I think even without Nathan Cleary, the Penrith Panthers are still a top four team, just because of defensively how good they are. I think there is an argument out there for Isaiah Yeo. I mean, I don't have Isaiah Yeo's games in front of me, but I reckon over the last 4 or 5 years, or during this premiership like success that they've had, outside of being rested post Origin, I reckon he has missed. You could probably count the games on your hands.
No, Yeo, I completely agree with you. I think he is so severely underrated as being a key player in that side. But I also think Yeo is the type of player that someone like Cleary would actually go to for advice. He would go to him for those leadership qualities. You can see it if you watch any of these Panthers documentaries. There's a docuseries that came out kind of covering that when they were backing up their premiership win. Yeo was a major player in all of that. And also from like a fantasy perspective, Yeo is a great player too. So you can see how key he is to most of their plays. But 100% I'd say Yeo, but you can't deny the Cleary effect.
Yeo, between 2020 and 2023, so across those four seasons that they made grand finals, played 95 games.
Wow.
So when you think about it, in three out of those 4 years he was playing Origin, so he missed out on a couple of games backing up, he essentially hasn't missed any football. And you think about a couple of times in round 27, they rested players as well. So the amount of footy that Isaiah Yeo has played, and obviously that includes finals and stuff, so there is a few games clipped on there, but he is just so important to this side. I think he's one of the smartest footballers around. I remember I had Nathan on the podcast too, after they won the 2021 grand final, Kat. Remember I said to him, if you had to pick one to stand by your side for the rest of your career, Isaiah Yeo or Appy? And he went, he ummed and he ahed, and he actually ended up selling on Isaiah Yeo, which surprised me. I thought he'd say Appy. Since then, they've gone on to win another two premierships together. So pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, no. I'm a big fan of Yeo for sure. I think, like I said, I think he's pretty underrated. I don't think he gets enough hype. I think people know he's good.
Yeah.
I just don't think they hype him up enough. But it's also because he's got such a chill personality and he's not the loudest in the team, and it's usually those big personalities that everybody talks about. But, you know, he's definitely a Jenga player there.
I think Isaiah Yeo is going to be one of those guys that ages really well in the history of rugby league. I think we're going to look back on the impact that Isaiah Yeo had, and I think you're going to look back at the history books of, oh, okay, well, all of a sudden he became a lock forward in 2019.
Yeah.
Once he got used to the position, they went to a grand final, then won three premierships in a row. I think you're also going to look back at the list of players they let go of. You know, Mansell, James Tamu, Stephen Crichton, Api Kurosawa. Like the list goes on and on. Jerome Luai.
At some point.
In the midst of all that, you know, they've only kept two guys in the spine, Edwards and Naif and Isaiah.
I mean, Edwards is another one too. Like he's such a good player.
It's actually a very fair shout. A lot of the times over the last few years in finals, like I remember there was the only finals game they've lost in the last few years was against South Sydney a couple of years ago. Stephen Crichton played fullback that night. Dylan Edwards wasn't there. So another very good shout, Dill. Obviously a Clive Churchill medalist. He's done it all, Dill Edwards. So, yeah, really interesting, the Penny Panthers. And once again, like once upon a time, I probably thought it was Appy. Who obviously was our Jenga player for the West Tigers and would probably be a Jenga player in most of these sides. But he was able to leave Penrith and they were able just to get on with the job. Incredibly impressive. This might be the easiest slam dunk of them all. The Manly Seagulls. I mean, we've got the evidence, unfortunately, over the last few years via injury and whatnot, that Tommy Turbo, when he's not in this Seagull side, they are a shell of themselves. There's been periods of time, like, for example, 2022, I think it was, where they lost Turbo and they actually pulled it together and did really well. Then Jersey Gate hit and that all went to shit, obviously. But outside of that, like we saw them in 2021 look like absolute world beaters. This guy played one full season there. I think he played 16 games, won a Dalian medal, absolutely shit in one of the most incredible seasons we've ever seen. I think that him and KP, I think they are the two most influential players to their football team as individuals. And without him, Manly go from being top eight contenders to bottom five, bottom six.
Well, we've seen Turbo turn Manly season around. In that you mentioned that individual performance season was just incredible. And I've talked about it before, but that is the season that got me really into rugby league again after I'd spent some time just over here dropping his phone. I'd spent some time overseas, was so out of the loop with rugby league, came back, and it was Tom Trbojevic that got me back into the game. Because yeah. I say it like we were mates, but genuinely I looked forward to watching him every week. I do think there needs to at least be some mention of DC as well and the role that he plays in that side. I think he is also one of the best in his position, and I think for years he's been, you know, criticised wrongly for not being as good as he really is, and I will die on the hill that DC is one of the best halfbacks in the game. But I also think Garrick is fantastic, and I think those three bring a lot to that side, and without them there's no way they would play as well as they do.
Yeah, completely agree. Just another, I think DCE is a fantastic shout. Just one more thing on Tommy Turbo for you to consider as well. Like, not only is he so influential to this football side, you look at State of Origin.
Yeah.
The last series we won in 2021 was, you know, the biggest series victory of all time in State of Origin. Tommy Turbo lit it up. Since then, I was just looking at it then, he's only played the two games for New South Wales. We lost both of them, but in one of them, he got injured after about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I remember. It sucked.
And we haven't even got close to winning a series since Tommy Turbo was fully fit.
I think it's like, to your point, Turbo is one of the best in the game.
Yeah.
It's across rugby league. It's not just in that Manly side. But I think also it's fair to say that he's probably one of the most liked players as well. He doesn't ruffle any feathers. He plays good footy. He does his job. But then when he's got to stand up and represent New South Wales, he always puts everything behind it as well.
Yeah. Let's move to the Brisbane Broncos.
Let's do it.
I've got three names here that I'm pretty evenly divided on.
Mm.
I think I know who you'll say and I understand why.
Who do you think I'm going to say?
I think you'll say Adam Reynolds.
Yeah, I have two.
He's one of my three and I'm actually evenly divided. Why would you go Adam Reynolds?
Well, I think we saw it was like day and night when he arrived at that Broncos side. Yeah. Obviously, he left South Sydney and he left big shoes to fill at our side, which you could argue still are yet to be filled. But I think you could emphasize that they are yet to be filled. But I think it was just very clear what influence he brought to that side, his experience, his skill. He is one of the best in the game in his position. But I also think seeing what happened to South Sydney in his absence is also a sign that he is a Jenga player wherever he goes.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you can't debate this. It just is.
Yeah, I think obviously Payne Haas has to be right up there in this conversation. And I think you could see the difference the other night without Payne Haas as well. And I think that Adam Reynolds is, you know, somewhat of a lesser player without Payne Haas as well. I think when Payne Haas there, it really hurts Adam Reynolds. The other guy that I think should be mentioned there, and I know a lot of you are probably expecting me to say Reece Walsh, which is fair. The way that they play, a lot of things are built around just getting Reece Walsh in good spots. But Kat, I still reckon Pat Carrigan is one of the best players in this competition. I think he's one of the best ball players. I think he's one of the toughest guys, one of the best defensively. You talk to players and just the way that he talks and whatnot, we've seen a little bit of it through those mic'd up segments and stuff. I think Pat Carrigan is right up there with their most valuable players. And if we could put this Broncos side into a vacuum and just, you know, let them play out 10 weeks of footy minus each of these guys, I reckon there is a serious chance that they look the worst without Pat Carrigan and all these guys, which I know is a little bit of a bold take, but I just think he's one of the best forwards I've ever seen. He genuinely is.
That's a great shout. I actually hadn't written him down. I had Walsh and I had Reynolds, and I totally agree with Payne being a necessity to that side, especially the way that they are built right now. He's key to that side just like Walsh is, but Carrigan is a great shout.
Just made me think when you mentioned Payne Haas there that we were thinking about the other night, I think as well for the Panthers, we actually didn't mention James Fisher-Harris.
Definitely
needs to be in that conversation as well. But, yeah, the Broncos are a really interesting one. I reckon there's a serious world where it could be Paddy Carrigan, but very good arguments for a number of guys. Let's move on to the Dolphins, new franchise. Came in last year. I was lucky enough to be up there to have a look at the facilities and everything last week. Very, very impressive, doing fantastic things up there. I think the obvious answer, Kat, is Hamiso, just because he is the superstar up there. But I'll tell you what, last year when I got to sit and watch them And I know it was their first season and all that, but, mate, when Jeremy Marshall King wasn't on the field, that team was an absolute shell of itself. I think I would go with Jeremy Marshall King slightly over Hamiso. Hamiso is the cream on the cake. He's the icing. But, man, Jeremy Marshall King, to me, he's the fucking cake.
Yeah. That's a great point. I think, once again, it's a testament to the role that he plays in that team, the position. That hooker position is so crucial, and when it's done right, same as Appy, when you do it right, it can be the actual game changer for a side. And Hammer is reliant on everything kind of working out in order to get the ball to him, for him to do his thing, to show off his speed, to get those tries. I also think Isako has kind of proven himself to be a pretty key player in that side too.
He's for a winger, he is wildly important, isn't he? And, you know, I think Isako to some extent sort of just personifies what the Dolphins are all about. That they, you know, he's one of those guys that was unwanted, wasn't being utilized by the Broncos or the Titans, just up the road. Comes there and if he wasn't the NRL top point scorer, he was right up there. I think he was second top try scorer to Dom Young. He's an incredible player. The other one that I think is worth a shout, and I think this is his last NRL season, Jesse Bromwich. You know, we always talk about the Melbourne Storm, and for the last 2 years, all I've said about the Storm is that they lack punch through the middle. Jesse Bromwich is an aging body. You don't look at him and go as an explosive forward, but, you know, he was the main forward in that Melbourne Storm side for a very, very long time. And I know it did coincide with other guys leaving as well, but they just haven't looked the same since Jesse Bromwich has left. And I look at the Dolphins pack, who on paper is, you know, nowhere near as good as other packs in his competition. But just with Jesse Bromwich leading from the front, I think he's done a tremendous job. So JMK would be my pick, but I think all those other guys have to be very close. They're one of those teams, Kat, that I really hope in a couple of years' time, it's Isaiah Cartel we're talking about as the Jenga player. I hope that he fulfills his potential, and I believe that he will. We're talking about him in these conversations one
and
day.
I do have to say, similar to your Ricky Stewart call, you're a new side. You're 12 months into the comp. The coach that you bring on board is so crucial to your success, because you're not adopting players and a system. You're creating a system. And I don't think that they could have picked better than Wayne Bennett, and the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah, and I mean, once again, even more so to your point, Kat, I mean, you know, Wayne Bennett, he had a connection to Jermaine Isako previously.
Yeah.
He's had a connection to Jeremy Marshall King via his brother Benji for a long time. Like, all these guys – he's got a connection to it. Even the guys that he coached during the 2020 Origin series, your Fleglers, your Josh Kerrs, these sort of guys that he brought to the club. So
they're kind of like the fringe players, right? But he found a home for them all. And it's kind of like, for a terrible analogy, it's like he adopted a bunch of kids that didn't have homes or didn't feel welcome in their homes and created a home with them, and he's done something beautiful.
I actually don't think it's a terrible – I think it's actually a perfect analogy. It's exactly what it is. He's taken not a group of misfits, but he's taken – like, a lot of them were reserve graders. That's the fucking reality of it. A lot of these guys were reserve graders, and he's brought them in, and they're going great guns. They've shocked the rugby league world in the first season. I think they've actually set an unrealistic standard for new teams 100%, coming in. It will be interesting. I actually think your take on that, Kat, Wayne Bennett, I think that's going to age incredibly well over the next few years.
I hope so.
And I hope I'm wrong for Christian Wolf, who's going to take over there, but history tells us it's like singing the song after Elvis. It's very, very tough.
Yeah.
Let's move to the Canterbury Bulldogs.
Spicy.
Yeah, really spicy. Stephen Crichton's arrived at the club. Viliami Kikau's arrived at the club. Superstars of our game. I wouldn't say that they are the Jenga players just yet, though. I was hoping by this point it would be Matty Burton, but I probably can't say it about Birdo. I want him to be, and I think he will be eventually, but you probably couldn't say it about Birdo. I'll tell you what, Kat.
It's a tough one.
The guy I'm going to say is Jacob Preston.
I like it.
Let's imagine a world where they didn't have Jacob Preston. That means that Josh Curran would have to play on the edge, and they literally have no middle forwards. I think that if you had to find a player that represents what the Canterbury Bulldogs are about and what their DNA is, I think it's Jacob Preston. And he was playing for North Sydney 18 months ago in reserve grade. pretty much unheard of. I really didn't know much about him when they signed him. I didn't really give it any more thought than, okay, he's in the 30s, sure. I'm hoping in 12 months' time we're talking about Reed, Matty Burton, Critter, these sort of guys. Josh Adokar, I'd have him right up there as well. But, man, I reckon it might be Jacob Preston.
No, I agree, and I think looking at the way that the Dogs have built their team out, someone like Preston is so important to that the structure of that team. But also I like, you know, the fact that you've mentioned that he really is just like the heart and soul of the Bulldogs. He's very authentic and real and genuine, and I think he kind of embodies what they try to do as a brand and as a team, and he fits that mold perfectly. But I also think what we wanted to see from Reed Marnie, what we wanted to see from Birdo, what we hope to see from Critter is that Jenga player level of importance, but I think we're yet to see that. So I think that Preston fits that description right now for them.
Yeah, I think you could put Jacob Preston into any Bulldog side from the last 50 years in the back row and he would just fit in seamlessly.
Yeah.
He's just one of those players. Really interesting Canterbury. I do hope in 12 months' time though, Kat, that is a completely different conversation and we're talking about some of the guys in the spine because that's what they need. Jacob Preston as a back row can only do so much. And you even have a look at some of the great back rowers for Canterbury, like your Bobcat Ryans, your Willie Masons, these sort of guys, Josh Jackson. They're only, you know, they need the spine around them to be seriously contending for premierships and grand finals and whatnot.
Yeah.
Kat, last team, the Parramatta Eels. We spoke about them a little bit this week, obviously released their jersey the other day, which was unreal. I also think, similar to Gold Coast Titans, they lost their Jenga player over the weekend, Mitchie Moses. Thankfully, they are in a position where they have got one of the most talented ball players in the competition, Dill Brown, a luxury to play him at 5'8". They can now move him to halfback. How he goes, we'll have to wait and see. But I think it has to be Mitchie Moses.
Yeah, I do agree. Obviously, Mitch Moses's role in that team is unquestionable and similar to the Turbo conversation. You know, he's done a lot for New South Wales as well. He's really stepped up, you know, in Cleary. You could say Cleary shadow or whatever you want to say, but
yeah.
You know, he's stepped up in those moments too. He's cemented himself as a fantastic player. I also would throw Gutho out there as a key player too because I think when Gutho has a good game, the Eels have a good game.
Yeah. I think Gutho is such a big one too because, like, I personally don't think Gutho is the most skillful and most talented fullback in the world, but he's just all fucking ticker and effort.
It's the ticker. And this is what we were just talking off air about. Kind of when we look at Friday's game between Bulldogs and South Sydney, what the Bulldogs have that South Sydney don't have right now is that ticker. It doesn't matter how polished you are. It doesn't matter how many times you've practiced your kind of set pieces and you guys know what to do. If you don't go into that game with ticker, you will not win.
Yeah. I think the other player I would mention would be Junior Bowler.
Oh, yeah. I think for a similar reason in that he puts everything behind that.
I often find with Parramatta games, if he's the best forward on the field, they don't lose.
Yeah.
They simply don't. And quite often when you get to the end of a game and it's a Parramatta loss, take the 2022 grand final, for example, against Penrith, I go, geez, by their standards, Reg and Junior are pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I really like what the coach is doing now. I imagine Junior probably hates it, but I love that he's putting him on the bench, bringing him on after 20 minutes because I think that's where Parramatta drop off. When you see RCG and Junior walk off the field at the 20-minute mark, the opposition goes good as gold. Let's roll now. So, yeah, I really like that move. He'd be right up there, but – and you've got a halfback like Mitchie Moses, who's one of the best in the competition. I think it's very, very hard to go past him. And I think there is probably no greater example, Kat, than round one this year. They're up by 20 points against Canterbury, I think it was, and he had a groin injury the entire time and they left him out there just to talk, just to dictate terms, similar to what, you know, obviously on a very different stage, but similar to what the Roosters did in the grand final against Melbourne, where they kept Cooper Cronk out there, even though he's injury and he was completely fucked. Just to dictate terms and talk. So, but once again, in 10 weeks' time, Kat, we're going to be able to look back and go, okay, we just had a 10-week sample size of no Mitch Moses. Did Dill Brown step up? Did Gutho step up? Were they okay? Did they win 6 or 7 out of 10?
Or did someone else step up?
Did someone else really step up? Yeah. It'll be very, very interesting to watch this Parramatta side. I feel pretty confident in saying Moses is the Jenga player. But, yeah, it's going to be a good little watch over the next few weeks.
It will. I mean, a tough watch for those para fans early on, but I think it's kind of a luxury to be able to have like multiple names come up in this conversation. I mean, for some teams it's day and night.
Yeah.
We know exactly who that key player is, but I think it's a good sign for the Eels that they've obviously got some depth to that side, which will help them with Moses being out.
I think it could all, I think it also really has the potential to be, in a weird way, if Dill Brown really steps up over the next 10 weeks and advances his game as a halfback, can only help you moving back to 5'8". That could be the little silver lining that you could see Dill Brown take his game to a whole new level. You'll probably have to pay him an absolute fortune on his next contract and other teams will chase him, but he has a real opportunity there to excel his game even further.
Yeah, I think his confidence was shaken a little last year with all the drama that happened off the field, and it's no denying that those things impact the games as well, and you can see how their performance can be altered by whatever's happening behind the scenes as well. But I think he's come in this year and it's a new year and he's ready to just go on with business, and I'm quite looking forward to seeing what Brown does this year.
Yeah, I'm very excited to watch Brown over the next 10 weeks or so. All right, guys, that will do us for our Jenga player brought to you by Neds. Make sure you go head over to the app. You can follow the Rugby League Guru group on there and my profile. Stay up to date with all my tips, my bets, my predictions, all that sort of stuff. You can go in and copy my bets. You can change them and tweak them a little bit, add or minus certain things from them, whatever you see fit. But go over to the Neds app. Go and check it all out. We are always gambling responsibly, guys. Prices subject to change. And we will see you on the next episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.